It's good to see that there are 125 people who know how to spring forward. That will serve you well on the spiritual journey. Welcome to the Church of Conscious Harmony. About 20 minutes ago, Tim called in sick. Barbara and I met on the breezeway and had a quick round of rock, paper, scissors. I'm not going to say who won and who lost. But here we are. We just have a couple of announcements this morning. This coming Saturday, next Saturday, is the Contemplative Outreach United Day of Prayer. This is a day when people all over the world come together and on that day practice centering prayer in community. This year, the United in Prayer Day is going to be at the Seminary of the Southwest. So all the information is on your insert. What an opportunity to come and join our brothers and sisters around the world in prayer for a planet which desperately, desperately needs it. I talk to some folks and they say, what can I do? And here's one thing that we can do. Also, please mark your calendars. Father Carl Arrigo, our beloved friend, will be here on Monday evening, April the 3rd, from 7:30 to 9, speaking on the four consents. If you're not familiar with them, the four consents come from episode number 12 of the Spiritual Journey videotape series that Father Keating recorded many years ago. And these four consents are things that he says each of us get to confront in our life. It's consenting to our basic core of goodness. You can check each of these and see kind of where you stick. All right, consenting to our basic core of goodness, consenting to our talents and role in the world. The third consent, which is where I'm currently stuck, is consenting to our physical diminishment. So as your eyes go, your ears go, your memory goes, all of that. That's the third consent. And then the fourth consent is our consent to God, the big consent. So it's a really wonderful way of wrapping the experience of one's life from the very beginning, our basic core of goodness, to the final consent to God and everything in between. So you're invited to come and spend an evening with Carl Arrigo and visit these four consents with him. If you're new to the Church of Conscious Harmony, we welcome you. There's going to be a table on the other side of the bridge, and some friendly person will be there to answer any questions that you have or start a dialogue. I think that's it. Is that it? I think that's it. Now Barbara has a message for us.
Consenting. That's a really good thing to get really good about. On the spiritual journey, just say yes. All of you here are good consenters, I'm sure. Father Thomas tells us that once we're on the journey, then everything is working for our healing in union with God. Everything, if we say yes to it. Now, we always can say no. But of course, that makes it that much harder. Resistance makes it so much harder. So I'll just start with the reading from today's lectionary. This is the second letter of St. Paul to Timothy. And I invite you to listen with the ear of the heart to see if you hear anything that particularly speaks to you. Beloved, bear your share of the gospel of, Beloved, bear your share of hardship for the gospel with the strength that comes from God. He saved us and called us to a holy life, not according to our works, but according to His design, His own design, and the grace bestowed on us in Christ Jesus before time began, but now made manifest through the appearance of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. The word of the Lord. What stuck with me was bear your share of hardship for the gospel. Anybody who has been on the spiritual journey knows that there is grace abounding. We've all experienced it. As soon as you turn toward God, there is grace. And then there's the hardship part. The dying to the old self. In this wonderful prayer that we've been given, I always say it has two parts. One part, of course, is the infilling and the watering of the God seeds that we all have, and the uncovering of that basic core of goodness that Michael talked about. But it also has the breaking up and the dismantling of who we think we are, which that in itself is a hardship enough for almost anybody. But that's how we get to grow. So I've been listening, as you know, to Sister Ilya in my car all the time that I'm driving around. And I usually pick something that I hear that really catches my attention and kind of stay with it. And this week, because of something she said, what I've been thinking of is the world. This is not Ilya, this is Paul, the world that you know is changing and passing away. The world that we know is changing and passing away. And I don't think we can live in Austin, Texas without seeing that. You know, the world that we knew in Austin 10 years ago is gone. That world doesn't even exist. And as Michael said, as we tend to move into a certain age, then we see this world is changing and passing away. And I know personally, my children who used to live here in Austin with me now live on all different coasts, and grandchildren, all the, you know, that world that I knew is changing and passing away. So, and so much is going on globally. The world that you know is changing and passing away, which for a contemplative is good news. That world was not the world. That was a world that we knew. But the world is always changing. I thought about that ever since I've been listening to Ilya. Instead of seeing the world as static and solid, I'm starting to see the world more in quantum terms, where it's moving. And I see it almost like this huge spiral that's being drawn by the love of God to the Omega point. Being drawn magnetically to the Omega point, which is the fullness of Christ, the fullness of love. And so where it used to go, the world is changing. Wait a minute, I don't really like this. I don't think my daughter should move to New York. I know I've got to. I know it's part of letting go, but I really don't think she ought to. And to where, oh yeah, it's all changing. And that is good. You know, there's not much we can do about that. And I know change is a really big thing, because when we were baby ministers at the Unity Church, we sang only joy songs. You know, you can hardly argue with a joy song. You know, they lift you up and they make you happy and aware of God all at the same time. And, you know, we had a repertoire, and every once in a while our music director would pull out a new joy song. And you could just feel the resistance in the room. Oh no, not a new joy song. Aren't our old joy songs enough? So that really started cueing me in that, oh, we as human beings really don't like change that much. Even change for the good is kind of, we have that little resistance. But listening to Ilya is really, like I said, blowing the back out of my box thinking. And so there's more room. And she was talking on the CD I was listening to. This is a quote from the Bible. God makes all things new. God makes all things new. And so to make things new, that means the old has to go. You can't have new and old at the same time. It's just not going to work. And she quotes Meister Eckhart, 12th century, as saying, God is the newest thing there is. God is the newest thing there is. God is the youngest thing there is. And I know for myself personally, and I think if you look at your own life, when you started letting God in your life in a deeper way, things start getting newer. Now, for me, it was happening in boxes. So there's still all these parameters that are there. But really, my life started to get really very new. All sorts of things happened I didn't even know could happen, would happen, wouldn't have planned for them. And yet, things were being made new. And I love the idea of God is the newest thing there is, the youngest thing there is. This is Meister Eckhart in the 12th century. He also said that God is a boiling over of love. The fullness and boiling over, just bellissimo, I think it was. Just this pouring forth of love. He's constantly pouring forth love into anybody that will receive it or anything. So here we have this world that's being made new. We have this world that's coming to an end. And when Paul said that, the world really was coming to an end in the Middle East. I think shortly after he said that, Jerusalem was taken. There was a revolt, and the Romans came over and they destroyed the temple. And a lot of Jewish people. And it was that way for a while, and then there was another revolt in 135, I think. And then they came and they destroyed all the Jewish people. The ones that didn't get out. And they built a temple, a Roman temple, right on the Temple Mount. They renamed the city Ariel Capitolina. It was no longer Jerusalem. A brand new thing. So what Paul was saying was true for his time. All things are being made new on every level. Every level. But when I thought about all things are always being made new. It's not the static universe that we see. And so Ilya goes on to quote, she said, in order to grow, you have to change. I would say get to change, but in order to grow, in order to be made new, there has to be change. And she said, she quoted, just went, Cardinal Newman who said, and in order to be perfect, you must change often. And she says, boy, when she says that in front of her nuns, they say, I don't want to change. I already changed in Vatican II. It was really hard. That's enough. I have changed. But she said, no, it's not, you know, what can I do to change? It's more like when we change, the whole thing is changing. We're changing in communion, in community. It's not like I change. It's like we're changing. Because we duplicate nature, and when in nature, everything changes, not this little part changes. So we have this company to grow and change in, to be made new in. And she said, it's not really about what can I do to change, but it's about being open to the new. Being open to the new. And that's where our soft, wondering question comes in, rather than, I'm going to go out there, okay, I'm going to go change and do it, and I'll change this and change that. But being open to whatever God, who's making all things new, has up his or her sleeve to bring us to that fullness of love, which is where we're going. Something else she said on the disc that I really resonated with, she quoted Thomas Merton saying, contemplatives and mystics are at the tip of the arrow of that change. Contemplatives and mystics are at the tip of the arrow of that change. So in other words, what we're doing is affecting all that is not yet a contemplative or a mystic. And I really like that, especially since I happen to know a bunch of contemplatives and perhaps mystics. So, you know, we sit in our room twice a day. If your prayer is anything like mine, it's a surrender to being still for a half an hour. Perhaps you're getting tons of graces poured on you or having experiences, but perhaps you're just like me, you're just sitting in the room and saying your sacred word every once in a while to remind yourself of what you're doing and resting with God. And we think that that's nothing, but that is something. That is something that's affecting the change and the opportunity for all things to be made new. It's the leading edge, we'll say. So as a contemplative, whatever you think that is or whatever you think that looks like, that's what's happening. Behold, I make all things new. So I would say perhaps we can take our contemplative calling to heart and lean into it, or wish to lean into it, or pray for the grace to lean into it. And I'm going to make an offering. And this is where the hardship comes in. It's hard to take time. To make time. But I know everybody here does already. But so I would say if you're praying, pray twice a day. if you're not. It was very hard for me to pray twice a day. First time, yes. You just get up, you set your clock earlier, you know, as a practical person, you da-da-da-da-da, you sit down, you pray, and it's very easy. Your mind is quiet-er in the morning. By the afternoon, it's a little bit more difficult. You've picked up everything during the day, and when you sit down to pray, you're unloading all of that. And it's like, first time I did it was like Grand Central Station. My thought in the background was, surely, this could not be prayer. But I felt different after I got up. Maybe this is prayer. So, if you're praying, pray twice a day. If you're praying 20 minutes twice a day, I would say, pray 30 minutes twice a day. Many of you are probably already doing that. I know that I've found my prayer incrementally going up. It just does. But if you're praying 20 minutes, so many people in the larger community are praying at least a half hour twice a day. Remember, it's our vocation. We're the arrow tip that's helping to pull all of this forward in a godly way. It's going to change, but will it change in a godly way, or will it just change? And we're the food, I would say, for the place where God enters into that stream to change, make the changes be in a godly way, I'll say, in the way of love. So that would be my invitation to pray twice a day, to pray a half an hour twice a day. Our lovely Lessons in Truth, Emma Curtis Hopkins says, unless a person is sitting for an hour a day in the silence with God, they're just preparing to go on the spiritual journey. And preparing is good, but now with you all being contemplatives, you can just jump on in and break it into 2 half-hour times. Or if you can't pray in the evening at all, pray for an hour in the morning. You can always do that. You just get set your clock a little bit further back and get up an hour early. And I don't know, many of you have been on retreats, so you know that sitting for an hour is the most delicious thing. After the first 20 minutes or so, your body starts to cool out and you can just be there. It is the richest experience to be able to sit for an hour. I would say, as contemplatives, which you all are, do retreats. Father Thomas's first retreat was 2 weeks long, and on that first retreat he met Father Carl Arrico, Gail Fitzpatrick Hoppler, Bill Sheehan, Mary Marzowski, and David Frenette, 5 of the probably 15 or 20 people that were there, 15 maybe, that went on to found Contemplative Outreach. And of course they said to him, 2 weeks, that's too long, people don't have that kind of time. But 10 days maybe. So pray about that. It's really when you can let go of your ordinary self for 10 days that you move into intimacy with God. That's, for me, is where I started really tasting God rather than sitting with God, I'd say. It's kind of like if you're married, you're with that person every day. Or if you have children, you're with them every day. But everybody's doing their own thing. And even though you're with them and you may have a meal together, you're not really with them until you can get away. And going away for a dinner is nice. But when you go away on vacation, then it's like, I remember you. You're the one I love. You know, all that stuff drops away and you can just be there with that person. And that's the way it is with God. When we let go for a long enough period of time, we are there. And great healing can take place. which can't take place when, in our ordinary lives. Thomas says, when we sit every day, a little bit sloughs off every day, a little bit of that old self sloughs off every day. But when we can be with him, then we can get some major liberation from that false self system. And the things that anchor that false self system aren't there. We're being fed, we're being called to prayer. I mean, there's nothing we really have to do except show up and hang out with God. It's life-changing. And I'll share this. This is kind of silly, but one time on retreat, I was sitting there and I realized, oh my gosh, those of us on retreat and those of us in the contemplative dimension are the livers. You know what livers do? They purify toxins in the body so that the body can be healthy. And people who give themselves to the contemplative dimension, there all that old undigested material begins to be purified out of the system. Well, we're not by ourselves. We're not doing this for ourselves. We are purifying the body of Christ by our willingness to suffer the hardships of going through healing, which Thomas says, at some times, can be painful. But it's all in this. So then we have, but I also thought, not only are we livers, we're livers. People who are free of that toxic material in their own lives begin to live freer, easier, fuller, healthier. And God is all about wholeness. That was the other thing I love about Ilya. She talks about God is the whole maker. So we are all invited to be made whole in this process. And as, of course, as we become whole, then wholeness is all around us. And we see wholeness. And it passes down to our children and the next at least seven generations. So that's what I've been kind of thinking about. Now, this is what Tim wanted to do. Let's take 1 minute and take that in. And Lord, if there is anything that has spoken to us, spoken to me this morning, let it enter my heart. And let me at least pray about it. You are always so willing to help us become whole for ourselves, for our planet, and for the cosmos. Amen. Now, what Tim wanted to do was to ask you what you have been hearing or what's been working with you around Ilya's work, if anything, what has been resonating with you. What are you working with around that? Or around the contemplative life? Tim wanted to know what you were doing around Lent, but I said it's too early. It's hard, it's wonderful, and it's in the midst of it. So, what do you want to say as a community? What do you want to share? Rodney.
Yeah, I remember one time meeting with Tim, and I said, so when my being changes and I look out and see the world, is my viewpoint changing or is the world really physically changing? And he said, yes. And yeah. So, yeah, everything does become new again. And it did seem earlier on in my practice that there were there was hardship. And looking back, there was just so much resistance as well. And there has been that slow chipping away to the point where things do become lighter and easier. And Ilya talks about evolution, the Christification of the universe. And I feel like that, yes, I'm changing, but like you said, I'm also doing this for the world. But not just that, I received something back, this idea of if you had known how to suffer, you would not suffer. And it really is a kind of an acquired taste for me, it has been, to where, you know, I love oranges and yellows and bright, shiny things. But there's browns, there's grays, there's black. And just starting to see the world more as a palette instead of black or white has really stayed with me during this whole time of transformation. So very, very grateful. And we'd just like to say that, yes, we can always do more, but it feels like that the intention that we've had in this church, and I know we have to keep our eyes on the prize, but I feel like in my life, I can't get off now, even if I wanted to. God's already set this in motion. It's going to happen. So maybe it is just the realization that we are already there. We just have to know it.
Thank you. Donna Louise, do you know? Jackie.
In the evolution of our family, we have a new mystic. We have a 3-month-old granddaughter. And we can't see her every day because she lives in South Carolina. But we receive every morning a new supply of photographs. And so my morning practice, which begins at 4:30, begins with the new photographs. And what I get to receive is this pure joy. A photograph this week of this enormous silver balloon, and somebody has connected it to her leg, and she's moving her leg up and down and talking to this balloon going up and down. And to take that in as a lesson, that I too can be fresh and new and take in impressions in a new way. She has not put on personality yet. She's open and receptive. She doesn't know there's something called ISIS out there, or there is a Democratic Party or a Republican Party. She doesn't care. Another photograph was the first experience she had of snow, and she's just with these gorgeous eyes, just taking it in. So I can do that too. I can be that too. I can begin my day clean and let impressions fall in a new place. It is evolving.
Thank you. Tracy.
Well, I've really gotten so much from Ilya. It really, I think, has changed my whole conception of God. And the quality of God, just this dynamic force that is working in and through and around us. And we are going to the omega point, you know, ready or not, you know, here we come. And we can participate or not. And I just get so much from her readings. I've been reading little snippets at night. And the thing last night that was coming to me, and I don't know if I have the words exactly, but I got at a deeper level that God needs our participation, that it's not just a top-down drawing to the omega point, but there's a bottoms-up piece of it too, that I don't really know how to say it, but it's like there needs to be ones that will this here on the ground. I guess this is something that's been coming to me in my workplace recently. We're going through a lot of organizational change. And something that's come recently is it can't just come from the top down. There's got to be a bottoms-up willingness to come up and through it, too. And when you were sharing this morning, what was coming as well is, you know, when you were talking about the tip of the spear, and that's where contemplatives are, I saw, you know, the kind of a flock of birds and how they all fly in the V. And there has to be the one in the front that's kind of breaking the wind for the group. And so I thought about our teachers of, you know, Thomas and Bernadette and how they've been serving us in that way. And so we're just being called to play our part on behalf of the whole, to bear the sufferings that we've been asked to bear, for the purification of all.
Thank you. Thank you. Participation. It's so hard in our culture, which is so keyed into spectator sports, that we are the participants. We're the ones being called. Brett.
Well, you talked about, pardon me, as far as cleansing, changing, evolving, being the livers, clarifying the toxins. I know it's early in the Lent process. What change that I've witnessed, and this alludes to what Rodney said, as well as what Jackie said about seeing things anew, is in the short period of time that I've given up news and negative influences, I've been able to put that down and witness more joy. And unbeknownst to me, rather than getting involved in the negativity and hoping for the change that I thought needs to happen, and then being really upset that it hasn't happened yet, when I step back and get into prayer and let go and allow myself that opportunity for change, every time I check back in or hear something going on from somebody else or see something at the gym, I'm always surprised that I get to see that change I'm secretly hoping for is still going on. I don't need to be caught up in that for it to happen. All my job really is to do is to be there in the silence and let go and not contribute to the negativity so that we can be that change in the world.
Thank you. To be the change. Yeah, I'm thinking that it's just such, our job is so small. Really, just to be still for some time, to maybe not engage, has such a huge effect. Jack.
What struck me was her pointing out that we are all cyborgs. And it kind of fits into the third consent. And it can go into the fourth or not. For instance, hearing aids at 25 years old, glasses at 30, new hip at 40, new knee, no, at 50. Well, at any rate, I'm a cyborg. I'm a cyborg. And there have been ways of looking at it as the third consent. You know, I'm falling apart. I saw them all as minuses from a worldly sense. Uh-huh. But I recognized at one point in time, 50, 60 years ago, with the pain in the hip that I was having, the knee, without those replacements, I would be in a wheelchair somewhere. And that's just the way that would have been. So I went from being limited because I had a new hip and worried that that would limit, say, my participation in the Gurdjieff movements, or the knee as well, which was even more, felt like more of a limitation. The reality is, wow, you know, the old guy is still walking around. And I had a friend tell me this morning, those are beautiful glasses. And I'm thinking, well, it's beautiful that I can recognize you. And so it's very beautiful. So the idea that she brought, that's a reality, that we are all somewhat us, something else, allowed me to recognize, yes, I'm getting older. Yes, things are happening. But by the grace of God and the beautiful work of those folks that can do these things, I don't have to sit back and say, well, go get my rocking chair. I can continue on the path, which is a physical one, which is a demanding one, just getting to church, holding the chalice. That's what I took from her, and in a very positive way.
Behold, I make all things new. Yes, Camille. This will be our last sharing.
The thing that I got most from our experience with Ilya being here in her talks was that, thank goodness, someone from the Christian world is expanding out away from this one planet and perceiving the cosmos and all of the machinations of that we think we understand, most we probably have no clue about right now. But all you have to do is lie down outside at night and somewhere where they're not city lights and look at the sky. And not only do we realize that we're made of what we're looking at, but there's a huge world out there, and we're just this little speck, and we take ourselves so seriously. And when we get just a little taste of that hugeness, for me, it's just mind-blowing, and it's so exciting to have a role model that is pushing out the walls, knocking down the walls of our boxes, and allowing us to go explore that much larger universe and not be so worried about what's going on in our little lives, but look beyond that. And I think that our contemplative practices is a way to do that. It's a traveling experience, and that's what thrilled me so much about her talks.
Thank you. Well, we're going to have to wrap it up. And thank you all for sharing. And I just want to close with, even though we have a dedication to a particular work, which is opening to God in silence, and it is a dedication and it is a vocation, we do it with the caveat that Ilya gave us, which was, and have fun. Have fun. She said, I talked to somebody, I said, well, what do you do for fun? They said, well, I read the New York Times. She says, no, F-U-N, what do you do for fun? So we pray and we play. Amen. And now stand and we will sing.
For you, Lord, live in me forever. I have made a place for you, Lord, live in me forever. I have made a place for you, Lord, live in me forever. I have made a place for you. Lord, live in me forever. I have made a place for you. Lord, live in me forever. I have made a place for you. Lord, live in me forever. I have made a place for you. Place for you, Lord, live in me forever. I have made a place for you, Lord, live in me forever. I have made a place for you, Lord, live in me forever. I have made a place for you. For you, Lord, live in me forever. I have made a place for you. Lord, live in me forever. I have made a place for you. Lord, live in me forever. I have made a place for you. I have made a place for you, Lord, live in me forever. I have made a place for you, Lord, live in me forever. I have made a place for you, Lord, live in me forever. I have made a place for you. Place for you, Lord, live in me forever. I have made a place for you, Lord, live in me forever. I have made a place for you. Lord, live. find a place of resistance where you have turned away. Let your awareness gently rest on what lies there. Softening down to the bone, opening, softening, floating on a river of mercy, on a river of mercy. On a river of mercy, on a river of Kyrie, eleison Kyrie, eleison. Each sensation, each emotion, arising and dissolving one by one, opening the heart of mercy to receive what is right of mercy, on a river of mercy, on a river of mercy, on a river of Kyrie, eleison Kyrie, eleison Kyrie.
This is the time in our service when we drop into centering prayer together as a community. Preparing for that, we sit comfortably in our chairs, accepting the support which it provides us, relaxing, and dropping into our hearts. And as we approach the threshold of silence, we take in together these impressions of Lent. Lenten Road, four-laned royal way, lead me to my beloved in these 40 days of prayerful pilgrimage. Royal and rich is the roadway of earnest prayer and worship, and blessed are those who travel it. They will find in the cave of their hearts the one whom they seek. Royal and treasure-filled is the lane of study and reading, hours spent in feeding the soul with food of knowledge, insights into the divine nature. Royal and compassionate is the avenue of almsgiving and working for the poor. Twice blessed are those who give of self and treasure as a Lenten work of worship. Royal and fertile with life is the lane of discipline, fast, and abstinence, which makes all disciples aware of their dependence on the truest ground of being, carrying every pilgrim homeward bound. Spirit of holiness, come to my aid, that I might walk with prayerful passion during these 40 days on all four lanes of heaven's Lenten Let us pray together now using the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
And now is the time in our service where we take up an offering for the church that feeds us. As we take our tithes and love offerings in our hands, we recall that we're here because God's love has always met and will always meet all of our needs. And in that knowledge, we can give freely. Receive joyfully. Thank you, Sue. And receive joyfully. Let's know that together. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. And give freely and receive joyfully. And how blessed we are when we simply remember God. Amen. we dedicate and consecrate these tithes and offerings to the victory of consciously chosen love in each of our lives and on the planet over the lie of separation and our useless acting out of fear. In Christ we pray. Amen. And now please join me in prayer as we prepare to receive the Eucharist. Abba, we thank you that we know that you hear us, and we know that you always hear us. It is you who are giving us words, you who are teaching us to pray, you who give us faith to pray in that lets us know and be certain that you always hear and answer when we ask. And Abba, we ask. Pour out your Spirit on these elements, that we might recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body and blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate his body to our bodies, his blood to our blood. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Transform us in your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. During supper on the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and having said the blessing, he broke it. He offered it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat. This is my body, which shall be given up for you. This is the body of Christ." After supper, Jesus took the cup, and again he gave God thanks and praise. He offered it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink. This is a cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all, for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, remember me." This is the blood of Christ.
Please join us in our communion song, Abba.
Abba.
the clay, the work of your hands. Mold us, mold us and fashion us into the image of Jesus your Son, of Jesus your Son. Father,
may we be one.
Jesus, your son. Of Jesus, your son.
Living and eternal Christ, we feel your risen presence as the very life that pervades and yet transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize that you are the way and the truth, and we're grateful to share in your body and blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into one in your mystical body, the true body of Christ. For the glory of God our Father, for the glory of his kingdom here on earth, and so that our joy may be complete, we pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen. Let's stand for Amazing Grace.
Amazing grace,
thank you for reminding us that our vocation is to open to your love and prayer sincerely and often, and to have fun. Amen.